Appreciate the good preaching. Brother Biddle and Brother Pace done a tremendous job. I don't know how long I've known Brother Biddle. I guess about 40 years, pushing 40 years. That's for the Dead Sea. He wasn't even sick when we met. That's a long time ago. Go way back yonder, a long time. Then we got to meet Brother Pace. I'm glad there's still some evangelists preaching and telling the old story. And we thank God for this church. Love you, Pastor. Appreciate him. And we appreciate you. I'll, long story short tonight, 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. I've never preached this before. I don't like to do what I'm going to try to do tonight. I wanted to preach out of the Gospel of Luke. That's what I intended to preach. But I have been wallering this thing around. These preachers know what I'm talking about. For several days. And the Holy Ghost said, preach it tonight. So that's where I'm at. We're going to read 6 verses of 2 Samuel chapter 12. You know the story. If we had time to go through chapter number 11, that's where David got in trouble and committed that terrible sin that caused the enemies of God to blaspheme. And Uriah has been killed, and a whole lot took place in chapter number 11. But God's got a preacher. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was kindled greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, this man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." I'm omitting the rest of the chapter for the sake of time. Would you pray with me, please? Father, Lord, I love you. I want to thank you one more time for the hand of God that reached farther down, Lord, than I could have ever reached up. And lifted me up out of a horrible pit, brought me up out of that miry clay that I'd gotten myself into, Father. And I want to thank you for saving me by your amazing grace. And Lord, I want to especially thank you tonight for keeping me by your power. And I want to stand, Father, and thank you tonight publicly for your grace that's been sufficient. And I want to thank you tonight for an opportunity to serve you. And Lord, as these men of God have preached tonight, I pray that you would help me to determine afresh and anew in my heart that we want to finish the course that you've given us to run. And I pray it enable me now, Lord, and you'd help me to preach. I thank you for the thought, and I pray the Holy Ghost might call to my remembrance what you'd have me to say. And in these next few minutes, Lord, you'd minister to the church, and you'd minister to sinners, you'd minister to the saints tonight. And you be glorified now through the preached word. And we'll love you and thank you for what you do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're familiar with your Bible, I'm sure, of that tonight. David has gotten himself in a terrible mess and in a whole lot of trouble. And I don't have a lot of time to preach about David coming up to these circumstances in his life. But you are familiar with him being a man after God's own heart. But he got into some serious trouble in chapter number 11. He is in a little trouble before that, but the trouble came to a head in chapter number 11. And after the terrible sin had been made public, God sent a man to him by the name of Nathan. And I saw something in this chapter in my daily Bible reading a while back that's just wallered and wallered and burned in my heart till I just had to do something with it. And I jotted some things down today, so you bear with me and we'll try to get through the thought and the message and be through here in just a little bit. I'm really interested in verse number 4 of 2 Samuel, chapter number 12 and verse 4. The Bible said, "There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Three men in chapter number 12 and verse number 4. The Bible said there was a rich man. If you mark your Bible, he's a rich man. We know that is King David. And then there's the poor man. We're well aware that that is Uriah, the man that David has had killed or slain that he might marry this man's wife. So the poor man is Uriah. The rich man, of course, is King David. But something jumped off the page at me in verse number 4. And the Bible said the wayfaring man that was come unto him. Who is this wayfaring man? That's a burden of my heart tonight and the desire of my heart to preach unto you. I used to play some kind of a game, and I done got so old I can't remember all of my youth. But there was a rich man, poor man, beggar man, and a thief. And I believe we got the rich man and the poor man, whatever that game was. It may have been hopscotch or whatever we used to play. But there was a rich man and there was a poor man. But there's a wayfaring man that come by, the Bible said, and talked to the rich man by the name of David. And I'm interested tonight in that wayfaring man. And if Jesus will help me, I want to preach for a little while tonight on watching for the wayfaring man. Watching for the wayfaring man. David the rich man, Uriah the poor man. Who is this wayfaring man that come by and apparently knocked on David's door and became the preacher's illustration? And if God will help me for a little while tonight, I want to try to expose this wayfaring man. I want to try to identify this wayfaring man that God, David, the only man in the Bible that God said was a man after mine own heart. And if God would allow this thing, if David could be overtaken or overcome by this wayfaring man, I'm telling you, who are we to think that we can sustain ourselves or be able to overcome the wayfaring man? So if you'll allow me to, for a little while tonight, I want to try to expose this wayfaring man. Who is this man in verse number 4? No problem with the rich man. No problem with the poor man. But I'm telling you, the wayfaring man, his identity sometime is hard to discover. And so I pray that you'll help me tonight and give me your attention for just a little bit. If I can expose him, I want to jerk the cover off of him tonight. And neighbor, reveal to you who the wayfaring man is. And maybe I thought today to be forewarned is to be forearmed. If we know who he is, if we know some of the characteristics that he might have, if we know some of the tricks that he might have in that bag of tricks that he carries around, maybe, and just maybe, we will not get in the condition that David allowed himself to get into. And so I'm going to try by the grace of God tonight to expose this wayfaring man. The Bible said in verse number 4, there came a traveler. This wayfaring man is a traveling man. And so for alliteration's sake, I want to call him a wandering man. I got 4 or 5 W's and I'll be through tonight. The watching for the wayfaring man, you're watching for a wandering man. He never drives down any routes. He never takes up any permanent address. He's just wandering around and wandering up and down the street and wandering in and out and among the church and among your family. He's never at rest. He just got this restlessness about him. And I thought about, as I thought about who this wayfaring man is, I thought about Job chapter 1, verse number 7. Where God said, "Where have you been today?" Paraphrasing, and the devil said, "I've been going up and down in the earth, walking to and fro and going up and down in the earth." And so I think this wayfaring man has some of the characteristics of the devil himself. Wouldn't you agree with that? If he is a traveling man, and Brother Nathan said he was, then he's a wandering man. He just wanders around. And so probably he might be kin to the devil. Amen. him. He might be his first cousin. And then I thought about another man in the Bible by the name of Cain. And the Bible said in Genesis chapter number 4 that Cain was a vagabond in the earth. And so Cain is a wandering man, and Cain is a traveling man, and Cain is a wayfaring man. And Cain, of course, ended up killing his brother and breaking his mom and dad's heart and bringing a shame and reproach upon the family. So I think maybe this wayfaring man may have the same characteristics that Mr. Cain had. So he's probably related to the devil, and he's also probably related to Cain. And may God help us tonight. I thought about the devil going up to and fro in the earth and wandering about in the earth, going up and down in it. And the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor. It doesn't matter where you may reside. Sometime or another, this wayfaring man is going to come by your address. He's going to knock on your door just as surely as he knocked on the door of King David. Who in the world would have ever thought or supposed that David, a man after God's own heart, would succumb, neighbor, to the wayfaring man? I'm telling you, it was the wayfaring man that got David in trouble. It was the wayfaring man that manipulated David until David broke the heart of God. And if I had time to read chapter number 12, the Bible said God was very displeased with David and pronounced several different curses upon David and upon his family. So I'm interested tonight in who this wayfaring man is. I'll tell you maybe when we get a little bit closer, but let me tell you this, he will come by your door. He will knock upon your house sometime. He will come by your residence. He's just not out on a Sunday school drive or a Sunday school picnic or a Sunday afternoon, a ride in the car. He always has a purpose, and he never rests. That conniving mind and that neighbor, that sinful nature that he has, is running up and down, to and fro in the earth. And neighbor, he's wanting to tear down, destroy, and to defile and bring a shame and reproach upon the name of God. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself tonight, but I'm telling you, he's a wandering man. He'll never rest until God says it is enough. He'll never sleep. He'll never slumber. I'm telling you, he's daily out yonder walking about seeking whom he may devour. So I called him firstly tonight. I called him the wandering man. He's a wandering, wayfaring man. And then secondly tonight, what did he want when he come by David's house? What was his intention when he came by to see this man whom we all know and thank God for by the name of David? What was the wayman's intention, the wayfaring man? For alliteration's sake, what did he want to do when he came by? Well, we all know very well that David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. David wrote hundreds of songs, and many of the psalms that we sing and worship and preach from, David is the author of those. And David was the harpist, and David had the joy of the Lord. I read today that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And of course, his wife despised him and mocked him and made fun of him, and God closed her wounds. So I'd be careful making fun of old time religion. Amen. But what was the intentions of this man when he came by David's place? Well, he knew he couldn't get David's soul, because David was saved and sealed by the Holy Ghost today until the day of redemption. But the devil hates for anybody to be happy. He hates for anybody to have any joy. He hates for anybody to enjoy anything, especially being saved by the grace of God. And so the devil comes by, and he's got in the deep recesses of that black heart of his, and this wayfaring man, he said, "I'm going to steal David's song." Are you listening to me? He is a thief and the robber, and his intent
intentions is what Jesus said he was in John chapter 10, verse number 10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so this devil, this fleshly man, this wayfaring man, whoever he is, kin to Cain, kin to Satan, kin to somebody, he has made up his mind, I'm going to get King David. I have got him in the crosshairs, and I'm going to bring him down. Are you listening to me? I am preaching tonight on watching for the wayfaring man. I've been saved for 43 years, pastoring 36 years, and preaching about 40 years, and I've seen a lot of them crash and burn. Hymenaeus and Alexander and different men in the Bible, Paul said, we've turned over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that they may learn not to blaspheme, right to young Timothy. He was sending the young man a warning. Are you listening to me? And he said, Timothy, watch for that wayfaring man. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, young person, he's got his crosshairs on you. If you're saved by the grace of God and got some of the joy in your heart, got a good family, and got your youth and got your talent, and intent ever on doing anything for God, I'm telling you, the wayfaring man got you in his crosshairs, and he'll knock on your door sooner or later. He will knock upon your door. Here's what he's wanting to do. Let me give you two or three characters in the Bible. This man by the name of David was Israel's greatest military king. Look at chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible said it came to pass after the year was expired, at the times when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Ramah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David's eyes begin to wander, and David's eyes begin to want, and later on David's eyes begin to weep because of a wayfaring man. Here's a military man, here's a man in his youth that slew Goliath with a stick and a string, or a piece of string and leather and a stone. Are you listening to the preacher? And the devil said, I'll bring him down sooner or later. I will destroy this great military king. And so the king, after all those years of victories in his life, he got careless when the kings go forth to war, and he tarried at Jerusalem and withdrew himself from the battle. And I'm telling you, those are dangerous days when you begin to back up and you begin to quit doing what you used to do and you quit fighting the battles for God. He got him out of the battle and got him in the bed. Are you listening to the preacher? He wants to get you out of the war and get you wrapped up in the wardrobe of somebody else's home or life or family. Are you listening to the preacher? Here's a military giant. Here's a man that slew Goliath 9'6" tall. But this is one wayfaring giant that David couldn't whip. I don't know how big the wayfaring man is, but David couldn't whoop him. Are you listening to me? The wayfaring man defeated David, the greatest military man probably in all of the entire Word of God. Now, we think we can handle him, and we think probably we can handle any situation or circumstance, and maybe, neighbor, when we're forearmed and ready, or maybe on our guard, where it may be in pretty good shape. But you get careless tonight, and like some of us have in our prayer life, and you get careless of what God's given you the ability to do, and you're getting on thin ice, and the devil's going to jerk the cover off of you, and neighbor, trip you up, and you'll be destroyed or defeated just like David was. May God help us tonight. David, neighbor, was a singing, dancing, joyous Christian, and the devil made up his mind, he'll not continue there. I will defeat him. I will destroy him. And so, young lady, young man, the devil's got his sights on you. He was after David's song. I guess Brother Biddle quoted or Brother Pace or one of them a while ago. We hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. They sat down and began to weep. And David's right hand forgot her cunning. And he said, I'd rather die from that than happen to me. But the wayfaring man withered up the hand of David. And the wayfaring man took the harp out of the hand of David. And the wayfaring man took the sword out of the hand of David. And I'm telling you, neighbor, the way fairing man, he's got greater men than any men that are in this building tonight, and he's wrecked more lives than all of us gathered together tonight, and he's destroyed more families than the best family in this church tonight. Who is this wayfaring man that's wandering up and down the road? He's out to get you joy, whoever he is. Samson, the strongest man in the Bible. The wayfaring man said, I'll get him and I'll get his strength. And we know the story. The preacher, somebody mentioned part of it tonight. He got Samson's power. And David, Samson is down in the meal house pushing a millstone and grinding meal where the ladies work. And his eyes are blind. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. What happened to the song of David? The devil stole it, or the wayfaring man. What happened to the strength of this man by the name of Samson? The wayfaring man got him. Are you listening to me? Moses, and I got to hurry. Moses, the meekest man, the Bible said, in all of the earth. And the wayfaring man got this meek man by the name of Moses. And the Bible says Moses got upset with the congregation and he smote that rock, and they'll never crucify Jesus again. That's what the application was there. Moses smote the rock, and that rock was Christ. He smote that rock quite and never got to go over into the land of Canaan. He got so upset with a church in the wilderness that he said, you bunch of rebel, you've gotten the best of me, you've gotten under my skin. And he smote the rock twice and the water did come out. But God said, Moses, you're not going to fulfill what I called you to do. Are you listening to me? Abraham, the father of the faithful, the great man of faith. God said, I'm going to give you a son out of your own loins. And after about 24, 25 years, the best that I can figure, after those years begin to pass by, and Abraham becomes an old man, and Sarah's a past the age of, as it is with women, bearing children, and neighbor, so Abraham is going to help poor old God out, and this great man of faith, he goes into his handmaid, you know the story, and neighbor brought a shame and a reproach upon the name of God. And those things that are occurring over there in the east tonight, it's because of Abraham's foolishness and Abraham's lack of faith. And we know God turns all of that around, but the wayfaring man got the best of Abraham. The wayfaring man got the best of Moses. The wayfaring man got the best of Samson. And the wayfaring man got the best of David. And if I wanted to call names tonight, I could stay here, neighbor, till midnight. The wayfaring man is getting them like dropping flies in these days we're living. We're not watching for the wayfaring man. We're not listening to the warning concerning the wayfaring man. Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. I called my son the other day. I got a burden from a son. And most of you know him, and I thank God for him. Save when he was a kid, save a little child at about 5 years old. And as far as I know, he hadn't wobbled on the shaft one time in 42 years. Got saved right after mom and dad got things right with God. And he's lived for the Lord. Preacher, Brother Biddle, I got a burden for him. And I called him and I said, son, I got a burden for you. And I want you to be careful. I said, wouldn't you be a trophy for the devil to hang up in his trophy case and say, there's another one that the wayfaring man got the best of? And he said, Dad, what's the matter? I've done something? I said, I'm not questioning you. I said, I just don't put any confidence in the flesh. Be careful, the wayfaring man's out to get you. I got two granddaughters here tonight. Wouldn't you be a beautiful trophy, arranged granddaughter, hanging up in the devil's trophy case? life scarred, virtue gone, life ruined, weeping and crying. If you made a mistake, I love you. I'm praying for you. May God help you. But I'm trying to send a warning tonight to watch out for the wayfaring man. He wants to consume you. He wants to devour you. He wants your life. The Bible said he walks about, she walks about, seeking that precious life in the book of Proverbs. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter the calling of God upon your life. As a matter of fact, I think that just raises the bounty a little bit to where the wayfaring man makes up his mind, I'm going to get you. Now, I can stand before you and testify by the grace of God tonight that His grace has been sufficient for me, and I've been faithful to my wife, and I've been faithful to my church, and I've been faithful to my calling, and I've been faithful to the ministry, but I am not above falling, and the devil, the world, and the flesh could get me tonight. Brother John said in 1 John chapter number 2, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Keep doing the will of God. Don't lay your head in the devil's lap. Don't let folks' aggravation get you upset. And never don't get out of the battle. Don't hang your arm up. Just keep on serving God and you can finish right. Stay busy. Are you listening to me? I'll guarantee you, after praying today, I didn't get out and run around much. Come over to here and see Dr. Farmer, but he was gone. I was late getting here. But I'll guarantee you, there's some folks that are in the church tonight. You used to be in the choir. You used to teach Sunday school. You used to serve God. You used to do this, or you used to labor here in that part of the vineyard. But I'm telling you, neighbor, you've drawn back just a little bit. The wayfaring man's about to get you. Some of you young people have learned better. It's good for the weak and the feeble, and it's good for the little fellas when they're 6 or 7 years old. I say it's good for the teenager. I believe it's good for the young family. I believe it's good for everybody. Amen. I know it's good for old men, praise God, and it just gets sweeter and sweeter. Stay in the will of God. Do the will of God, and you can finish this thing for Jesus. The wayfaring man, here's what he wants: to bring a shame and a reproach on the name of your Lord. I think it's chapter number 12. I am trying to hurry the best that I can. But in chapter number 12, when Nathan got through here and he said, you've given the enemies of God a great occasion to blaspheme. Would you listen to the preacher tonight? You young families that are here, you young men that are here, and I once was young and now I'm old. Would you listen to me? The wayfaring man will pass by you. Let me just get my third point. He's a wandering man. He's a wanton man. And you notice the words of this wayfaring man. What kind of words does he say? He's got a way with words. I looked up a verse of scripture. I knew it, but I didn't remember the reference. In Psalms 55, I'll be through here in a little bit if Jesus will help me. Psalms 55. The glory boys will be in tomorrow. I could tell you who they are, but I ain't got time to mess with the glory boys tonight. Look at Psalm 55. I'm not picking on them. I got one or two glory messages. I just lost them. I couldn't find them today. Psalms 55, verse number 21. You ought to have been here Sunday morning. I preached on the cross. Amen. Psalms 55, verse number 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn sore. This wayfaring man, I'm telling you, he's got an oily tongue, and he's got a way with words, and I'll guarantee him probably quote more scripture than some of you Bible scholar and you Bible students that are here tonight. But every verse that he quotes, I would say without exception, and don't hold me to it tonight, but probably without exception, every verse that the wayfaring man used, he'll either take from it, add to it, or take it out of its context. And so there's a rich man, got a big herd. And the wayfaring man come. That's not the poor man. Now, I've never heard this preach. You pray for me, and I'm not preaching something nobody else has preached. But this wayfaring man comes by the rich man, knocked upon his door, and the rich man goes to the door in between the lines, and he says, "Sir, I'm broken down out here on the highway. My mother's died in Florida, and I don't have anything to eat. My gas tank's empty. My car won't start. And sir, could you help a poor man out?" David said, "Well, there's been a whole lot of folks like you come through here before. They come and beg the church and beg the pastor, and they want this and they want that. And neighbor, 99% of them, they wouldn't turn over a rock to get a bite a morsel or something to eat out of them. They wouldn't do it. They're lazier than a hound dog." So this wayfaring man turns his word around. He said, "Well, sir, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I remember reading in the Bible, if you see your brother have need and you close up your bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God." And probably got David under conviction. "So, yeah, I'm your brother." He probably made 3 or 4 professions of faith somewhere. You girls listen to me? Yeah. "Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I got saved when I was 3 or 4 years old, but never have lived for God. Don't ever read my Bible. Don't go to church. Don't have any prayer life. No fruit in my life, but I'm a Christian. You can date me. I'm a Christian." All right, listen to me. "Oh, Dad, she's a good girl. You know, she dresses like a harlot and bobs her hair off like a man, and she's manly in her appearance, and she's manly and worldly and kind of awkward looking towards the church and doesn't like a thing going on down there, but she said she saves. I think it'd be all right to date her." That's the wayfaring man passing by. And so it gets David, and he said, "Sir, I'm hungry, and you have the world's good. You close up your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in you? I'm cold, sir, and I'm wet, and I need somewhere to spend the night tonight. I need a good hot meal." And then the Bible say, if you don't just say be warmed and filled, but he said, "I think God wants you to invite me in. Let me take a meal with you. I won't stay long. Just let me get warmed and filled, and I'll go on down the road." He's got those words. They're soft and smooth as oil, but he's got something else in his heart. He's trying to get his foot in the door, preacher. That's what Hardenburg or whatever, Breckinridge County, whatever county you're in tonight, this liquor in the restaurant, that's just a foot in the door. They'll be wallering in the street up here drunk, and there'll be a liquor store up here in Hardensburg before too long, you mark it down. And Walmart will have the liquor, and the Tractor Supply will have the liquor, and the grocery store have the liquor. They just got their foot in the door. That's a wayfaring man coming by. So he's got a way with words. He's a wandering man. He's wanting wickedness and evil. And he's got a way with these words of this wayfaring man. Would you girls listen to an old preacher and a dad and a grandpa? These boys, I'm telling you, they've got a down pat. They know how to talk to you. Down where we're from, there's hundreds of preachers. They're as thick as fleas on a dog's back. They're getting a free ride. They wouldn't walk themselves. They'd get on a dog's back and ride. All right, listen to me. If he's a young preacher and he don't preach and doesn't visit the nursing home and doesn't help his man of God, you pass him like a greyhound passing a hobo. And Brother John said, "Children, if they come by and knock on your door like the wayfaring man, and they have not this doctrine that Jesus is the Christ," he said, "don't invite them into your house and don't bid them Godspeed. Doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter how they conduct themselves, if they have not this doctrine that Jesus is the Christ," there is another Jesus that's being presented today, but that Jesus is the Christ, "don't invite them into your house. mouth. Don't bid them Godspeed. They will corrupt you, and you'll be like David. Your wandering, wanting eyes will be weeping eyes, and your power will be gone, your song will be gone, and your family will be gone, your virtue will be gone, your health will be gone, and your ministry will be gone, and the church will be gone, and the wayfaring man will be gone, and you don't know where he went. Are you listening to the preacher tonight? The words of this wayfaring man, I'm telling you, he painted David a good picture. He got David, no doubt, under conviction. And David yielded to the wayfaring man. Let me give you two or three warnings about the wayfaring man. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10? Here's a carnal infant. I'll give her credit for being in her infancy. But I'm telling you, her carnality was about to destroy her. And we're about in the shape that Corinth was. I saw a Corinth Baptist Church cross the street over here. I don't know who would name a church. If you're pastoring Corinth Baptist Church, God bless you, brother. Be warmed and filled. Amen. First Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I looked this verse up today. And if Jesus will help me get my pages unstuck. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 20 for the sake of time. But I say that these things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. He goes on, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another man's will. I'll stop there for the sake of time. But you cannot fellowship with the wayfaring man and think that you are going to continue in your fellowship with the Lord. You can't fellowship, neighbor, with that wayfaring man and entertain him at your table the way that David did. David brought him in apparently and slew the little poor man's ewe lamb. Pastor up in West Virginia, I hope you ain't watching tonight. He said that Uriah didn't have but one little ewe lamb. Are you listening to me now? That ain't no evangelistic tale. That is the truth right out of the gospel. Amen. But this one little ewe lamb that this rich man, he took that lamb and neighbor slaughtered that lamb and he entertained that wayfaring man and it got the best of him. It corrupted him and got God angry with him, neighbor, and got God upset with him. And here's the warning. You cannot fellowship with devils and fellowship with the Lord. You can't fellowship with the world and fellowship with the church. You can't let the flesh reign in your life and experience the presence and the power of God in your heart, and we're experiencing that in our churches tonight everywhere nearly that I go. The Holy Ghost is grieved because we're trying to fellowship in two different worlds. And Paul said, you can't do that. You Corinthians can't do that. When that happened in chapter number 1, you get the fornication in the church and drunkards in the church and revilers in the church and all this sin gets in the church because they are trying to entertain the wayfaring man. I'm about to tell you who he is and expose him. Warnings against the wayfaring man. Don't have anything to do with him. Don't entertain him. Don't invite him in your house. Don't drink of the same cup with him. There's seven steps there to come out from among them and be ye separate. And he told the church, light and darkness and Christ and Belial, about seven things down through there, and you'll be completely, totally separated to where the wayfaring man can't get you. I don't have time to deal with it. The warnings concerning the wayfaring man. I don't know why, but let me say this, and you don't have to turn. 1 Corinthians 5:11, the Bible said, if any man be called a brother, be a fornicator. If any man be called a brother, be a fornicator, know not the fellowship of that man. Don't have anything to do with him.
Oh, preacher, I'm going to help him. Try to help him, tell him the truth, but you can't fellowship with him. Sit down and drink out of the cup with him, go to his house and have a meal with him. Oh, preacher, you're a Pharisee. You're trying to hurt people. You don't care about people. I do care about people. I'm telling you, sir, you're not strong enough to fellowship with fornicator, whether in the church or out of the church. Now I tell you this, your young people, some of you naive parents that are here tonight, you let your young people fellowship with this bunch of worldly, devil-possessed young people that's got their name on the church roll, and maybe they're caught up in their filth and their fornication and every fleshly thing that the world's doing, and you let your young people fellowship with them, you're going to corrupt them, neighbor, you'll never win them back. I was told, and I saw you look at me, sir. That's all right. Look at me two or three times real good, would you? You're going to ruin your children. You're going to ruin your family. You're going to, yeah, my family loves God. My family loves Jesus. My family's got a target on their back, and we're in the devil's crosshair. But I made up my mind, my children, we're not going to drink of the cup of devil, fellowship with devil, run around with a bunch of fornicating young people. And I heard today it all come, the chickens come home to roost, and so keep the hen house clean, would you? Thank God for a preacher that'll love you, and neighbor, when you're overcome, he wants to help you, but he wants to warn those of us that are heed the warning and not let the devil have our family and our children. And I got to hurry. I could go 1,000 different ways. I'm going to quit in just a minute if I can. But I'm telling you, the devil's out to tear your marriage up. He's out to destroy your youth. He's out to destroy your young people. Get your eyes open. I'm preaching on watching for the wayfaring man. Are you watching for him? Are you watching for him? Sir, you're a fool if you expose your wife to this wicked, ungodly world and just turn her loose out there. You said she's old enough to take care of herself. Yeah, she might be, but I'm telling you, she's not a match for the wayfaring man. These smooth-talking male chauvinist pigs, some of them are older than I am. They flirt around these little waitresses and everything. Darling, where have you been all my life? Now, some of you girls that have to work, you think you have to work. When he says, where have you been all of my life? You say, sir, the first half of it, I never was born. All right, listen to me. I've pastored some of them. Let their hair grow out, give them a little turtleneck and a gold chain, about a half a dozen rings on their finger, and bracelets clear up their arm trying to impress somebody. You ain't impressing me. I know where you came from. You came from Hollywood. That's where you come from. You watch so much internet and so much TV, you're fried your brain. You even think you're handsome and you're uglier than a mud fence. You're so ugly when you was born, your mama had to tie a bone around your neck and get the dog to play with you. And age ain't helped you either. You've gotten worse with age. I'm trying to warn you about watching for the wayfaring man. I think I got one more point if I can get my dumb. Are you wondering who the wayfaring man is? Look at verse number 7, 2 Samuel 12:7. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You know who the wayfaring man is in my life? You're looking at him. You're looking at him. Ephesians chapter number 4, Paul said, put off the old man and put on the new man. Paul said the outward man is destroyed day by day. The new man, the old man dies, and the new man is renewed day by day. You take a good look at the old man. You are not above anything that you did before you got saved. The fleshly man came by David's house. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth.
Nathan used a little bit of parable and he turned the thing around and painted David a good picture and broke the heart of David and got him on his knees before God. Amen. Thank God for it. But the wayfaring man that got David in trouble was that old man that David's neighbor was carrying with him, that brother Bill or brother Pace, one of these men preached. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I am carrying the wayfaring man around with me up and down the road, goes to bed with me, gets up with me, watches me read the Bible, hears me pray, and he sits back there maybe on his haunches for a little while, and he may retreat for a little while, but he'll sit back there. When I get careless, he'll steal my song, steal my strength, steal my family, rob my meal, the blessing of being saved, and neighbor, steal the ministry away from me, tear my ministry, tear the church, tear the family. It's the old man, it's the fleshly man. And the Bible said, put off the old man and put on the new. That is not divorcing your husband and getting you a new one. That's this old fleshly man dying. Preacher, how can I do that? I'll tell you how to do it. Put yourself upon the altar. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You have to die to the old man. Are you listening? I'm preaching on watching for the wayfaring. Your flesh will rise up and get you. You cannot put any confidence, put no confidence in the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest for your rejoicing. Here's what he said. I die daily. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. He died daily to the old man. That old rotten, stinking flesh he was carrying around, neighbor. He was longing for the day when it would fall off. That was what drove him every day of his life. And every day he said, I die daily. And you can do with 1 Corinthians 15:31 what you want to. But he said, I die every day to my stinking old flesh and myself. And I want to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Fast forward up in the New Testament, Jesus said in the garden, he has prayed and his sweat like great drops of blood dropping down to the ground. And the apostle Peter nodding like a Baptist there in the garden while Jesus is praying. And Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, he said, Peter, I prayed for you that you fail not, your faith fail not. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't expose yourself to circumstances where you get in trouble. I never visited by myself. I've never been in a man's house and that man not there and me go to his house, neighbor, and try to comfort his family, win his family, or any other reason. The devil, you say, Free, don't you trust yourself? I don't trust the flesh. If you let the flesh ride with you, you let him ride, he'll want to drive. And you let him drive, he'll run you in the ditch somewhere. And are you listening to the preacher? Watching for the wayfaring man. You cannot trust your flesh. It's like an old Missouri mule, a white Missouri mule. They told me, Bud Smith told me this about 40 years ago. He said an old white Missouri mule will work for you 20 years to get one chance to kick your brains out. And the flesh will just twist those words around, oily, smooth words, and they'll just keep enticing, letting you get a little slack, and letting you get a little slack, and a little more slack, and they will let you think you got the victory, and think you've already overcome it, and think that could never happen to you, and neighbor, he'll snatch that rug out from under you, and you'll be gone, just like David, Samson, the Apostle Peter, and all the rest of them are overcome by the wayfaring man. Let me ask you this. I'm sorry I've preached 40 minutes or 30 or whatever it is. Are you watching for him?
Are you watching for him? If he can get David and Moses and Samson and a whole list of others in our day, if he can get those kind of men, he can get us. And if he can tear up better families than your families, and he can destroy greater ministries than this ministry, do you think we can go a day and not be watching and receive the warnings of the wayfaring man? Keep watching for the wayfaring man. Thank you, Pastor.